After my heart attack, cash from ActiveCare meant I had choices.
When I had cancer, cash from ActiveCare meant I didn't need to stress so much about money.
What is ActiveCare? ActiveCare is a supplemental health insurance policy that offers protection for covered cancer, heart attack, or stroke, and a choice of cash benefit options from $10,000 to $60,000. If you're diagnosed with cancer, a heart attack, or stroke, you could end up paying thousands of dollars or more in out-of-pocket medical bills. ActiveCare gives you protection at an affordable price. So, get ActiveCare for cash, choice, and control. Active Care is brought to you by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and is underwritten by Washington National Insurance Company. Visit colonialpenn.com for more information. This is a limited benefit policy. This policy has limitations and exclusions. For costs and complete details of coverage, visit colonialpenn.com. Someone you know has probably experienced cancer, a heart attack, or stroke. The odds of experiencing one of these are high, which could result in bills for thousands of dollars in out-of-pocket expenses. How would you pay for it? With your savings? There is another option. It's called ActiveCare. ActiveCare is a supplemental health insurance policy that offers protection for covered cancer, heart attack, or stroke, and a choice of cash benefit options from $10,000 to $60,000. And with ActiveCare, the cash is yours to use as you see fit. ActiveCare is brought to you by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and is underwritten by Washington National Insurance Company. Get ActiveCare for cash, choice, and control. Visit colonialpenn.com for more information. This is a limited benefit policy. This policy has limitations and exclusions. For costs and complete details of coverage, visit colonialpenn.com.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's Friday, y'all. It's Friday. It's Friday. It's Friday. You feel me? It's Friday. I trust that you are super duper looking forward to a fantastic weekend. Listen, and you know, if you haven't been out in a while, get out. Get out there. Get out and get in it. Especially if you're in Florida. We're not only flattening the curve, we're smashing it down to the ground. You know, there are many reports out there. We're going to talk about one of them today. That said, you know, that is saying, you know, Florida probably, and maybe even Arizona and a lot of the South is not only flattening the curve, may actually be approaching a herd immunity. We can talk a little bit about that. We'll talk a little bit about Steve Bannon. That story came out yesterday, and Steve Bannon and the whole thing about his private group. We'll get to that, and we'll try to get to as much else as we can in the time we have allotted to us. You know, this isn't Sean or Rush or Mark where you have 3 hours. This is Willie where we got about 45 minutes tops, really, before you guys bail out. So if we could do more, and I thought that it would be beneficial, we would do more. I promise we would. But, you know, it's, you know, as we look at the numbers, you guys bail out about a 30-minute point anyway. So not much more than we could do than that. But in any case, we hope that you are doing well. We're winning. Last night was a last night, praise the Lord, of the Democrat National Convention, where their nominee accepted the nomination, and they just had a great. They had just a great old time trying to bash Trump and tell you how oppressed you are, and tell you how terrible things are, and it's all Trump's fault. Although all the lockdowns that caused all the problem with the economy, most of them happened in their cities. The violence that's going on is happening in their cities, the Portlands, the Seattles, the Chicagos. Oh, and we got a Lori Lightfoot story, too, that you're going to absolutely love. You're just going to love this story. This Lori Lightfoot story, we're going to cover that as well. In any case, my eyes itching like crazy is what you're hearing. Anyway, so I am... We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more of the Morning Report. The Morning Report is a production of FightBackMedia.com, FightBackMedia.com, FightBackMedia.com. We've got great things going on the website. And if you want to check out another website, do this for me. TBC And you're going to hear the ad for it, tbctampa.com. Yeah, you want to check it out for sure, because it is brimming with conservative news, you know, primarily from Tampa Bay conservatives, primarily for Tampa Bay conservatives. So we are stoked. All right, we'll be back right after these messages.
If you are a true blue conservative, small businesses are near and dear to your heart. They are the lifeblood of our life and economy. I believe this, and that's why my florist is not a website or phone number. My florist is Bloomingdale's Flower Shop, Tampa's premier flower shop. At 11618 North Florida Avenue here in Tampa, Florida, and at 6835 State Road 54 in Newport Richey. Call Christine at 813-933-1942 and at 727-232-6900. She can also be reached on the web at www.bloomingdays.com. One of the things that I get asked most is, where can I get information that is not tainted with liberal bias, especially here in the Tampa Bay area? Well, now I have the answer. dbctampa.com, a website by and for Tampa area conservatives. Tampa's leading conservative voices speak freely at tbctampa.com, and you can too. So join the fun and enjoy the freedom at tbctampa.com.
All right. Welcome back. My name is Willie Lawson. This is The Morning Report, a production of FightBackMedia.com. FightBackMedia.com. Let's get it popping. You heard yesterday that former White House chief strategist, and this is how you're going to hear it. Every time you hear about this story, the media is going to do their best to connect Steve Bannon to President Trump. Although, what happened doesn't have anything to do with President Trump. Zero. He had no involvement in this project. Bannon was indicted on yesterday with others involved in a self-enrichment scheme that allegedly defrauded donors of millions of dollars with the promise of building an expensive border wall. At the center of the scandal is Brian Kolfage, a U.S. Air Force veteran who launched a GoFundMe campaign called We Build the Wall, promising to construct a barrier along the Mexican border and then would sell to the government for a fraction of their own predicted costs. The fundraising campaign, which elicited an average of $67 per person for more than 300,000 donors, is alleged to have raised more than $25 million with the promise of building a wall at a fraction of the estimated cost. It, as alleged, the defendants defrauded hundreds of thousands of donors, capitalizing on their interest in funding the border wall to raise millions of dollars under the false pretense that all of the money would be spent on construction. That was said by acting U.S. Attorney Audrey Strauss in a statement. That's last Friday, I guess. Kolfage persistently claimed that he would not draw a salary from the fundraise through the online campaign, and all donated money would go directly to border wall construction. Charity watchdogs warned donors early that there was great risk in supporting Kolfage's cause. Kolfage claimed in January 2019 that he had transferred approximately $11 million from the GoFundMe account to his private nonprofit, but did not provide much more transparency. Documents he claimed would prove his intentions to distribute the money only toward construction costs were not produced, as reported by the Daily Caller News Foundation at the time. Bannon's involvement in Build a Wall came early in 2019 when he signed on as a backer for We Build the Wall, Incorporated, a nonprofit based in Florida, of course, that was launched by ColdFedge, the surge, following the surge of online donations. The website, still active as of yesterday morning, claimed that all $25 million in donations have come from 500,000 unique individuals would be applied towards border wall construction. To date, We Build a Wall, Inc. claims to have completed a half-a-mile section of wall, sealing off a mountainous gap near El Paso, Texas. The nonprofit website is currently offering private tours for $20. Evidence that led to indictments of Bannon, ColdFedge, and two others on Friday was not immediately made clear. The arrest of Bannon was supposed confirmation of criminal activity by We Build the Wall led some to hope that there would be more crackdowns of nonprofits and political action committees who raise funds for dubious means. Many drew comparisons to suspicions leading up to the arrest on Friday to the controversy surrounding the Lincoln Project, a pro-Biden PAC helmed by several former, it says conservative strategists, several former Republican strategists would be more correct, that raised millions of dollars and created a series of anti-Trump ads. The Lincoln Project members have been tied to Russian funding, non-payment of federal taxes, and the group itself has been caught stealing online content for their own social media feed. This is what Audrey Strauss says. She's the acting U.S. Attorney, Southern District of New York. Anyway, as alleged, the defendants defrauded hundreds of thousands of donors, capitalizing on their interest in funding a border wall to raise millions of dollars under the false pretense that all of the money would be spent on construction, while repeatedly assuring donors that Brian ColdFedge, the founder and public face of We Build the Wall, would not be paid a cent. The defendants secretly schemed to pass hundreds of thousands of dollars to ColdFedge when he used which he used to fund his lavish lifestyle. We thank the UPIS for their partnership in investigating this case, and we remain dedicated to rooting out and prosecuting fraud wherever we find it. Audrey Strauss, acting United States Attorney in the Southern District of New York. This is the very same group of people that are looking for Trump's tax returns. Anything at all that they can bludgeon Trump with. Now, are these people innocent? I don't know. And neither do you right now. But be assured, this is not happening now, and especially at the end of the DNC, before the RNC next week. Anything to damage President Trump. Anything. Because they've got nothing else. They've tried everything. Golly, for 3.5 years, it was Russia, collusion. And in between, there was Stormy Daniels and all. There was, God bless, there was everything, right? And now there's this. Oh, and the post office. Trump's trying to submarine the post office so he can win the election. While telling people, don't vote by mail anyway. Go into the ballot box. Anyway, that's what's going on. And we're going to continue to follow the story because it's hard to know. It's hard to know, frankly, exactly what's going on. So, all right. COVID news. The data says this: Florida, Texas, California, flatten the curve. New York and New Jersey, did not. Didn't. You know, and this is by Guy Benson of townhall.com. Guy writes this: I feel I've made this point a few times here and there, but obviously merits its own separate post, especially in the light of the borderline sociopathic performance Andrew Cuomo turned in at the DNC earlier this week, when the, quote, slow the spread and, quote, flatten the curve mantra became ever-present in the spring. The explanation was significantly straightforward. Very significant mitigation steps were needed from the American public, not to crush the disease or make it disappear, which will only happen with a vaccine and treatment so effective as to, or treatment so effective as to amount to a cure, or via herd immunity, but to delay, push down the trajectory of cases and hospitalizations. The vast, vast majority of infected people would survive. 99% plus. We've talked about that before. We're talking about this, and this is with, this is including people who have underlying conditions. This is including people who have underlying positions. 99.998% of people survive. But the key to preventing needless deaths among infected people who experience the adverse health reactions was ensuring that our healthcare system didn't become overwhelmed. They kept saying that, but they kept saying that. And you know what? And I think people were down with that early. I think a lot of people, most people were like, okay, well, that makes sense. You know, if I have to be inconvenienced for a bit to make sure that the hospitals aren't overwhelmed while we're trying to figure out what the hell this is, right? Yeah, I can do that. And then we started noticing all the other madness. There was enough fear about hospitals and ICUs overflowing that makeshift facilities were stood up in very short order. We saw what happened in New York. We saw the USS Hope steam into New York Harbor. Did you not see that? Did you not see the Javits Center turn into a hospital? In pretty short order, right? Hundreds of beds. And this idea of ventilators, a bunch of them show up, right? A bunch of them show up. Trump gets Ford to start building them. So we got more ventilators now than we could have ever needed. No American, not one single American, has wanted for a ventilator. Not one. Right? Thankfully, nearly all of this excess capacity ended up being unnecessary. But the threat was very real and did play out some places, though not to the extent that it did in, of course, parts of Italy, for example. To help illustrate the desired outcome, a chart showing two COVID curves was disseminated virtually everywhere. It depicted two infection trajectories. The first was the unflattened curve, in which the virus spiked quickly, leading to a huge, steep mountain of cases and deaths. The second was a flattened curve, which the peak arrived later and nowhere near severe, despite significant distress. Everyone recognizes this, right? This is one that, you know, you can't see this, but this is one that MSNBC showed. It was this huge spike without protective measures. And it would overwhelm healthcare. I mean, this is just a graphic. This isn't really a chart. It's a freaking graphic that they put up and be like, woo. And with protective measures, it would get bad, but it would never overwhelm the healthcare capacity. It was just a graphic. It's not a graph. There isn't any, there's no science, there's no data behind it. But they put this up and we're flattening the curve. Under the preferred second scenario, infections, hospitalizations, and death were not eliminated. They were just delayed and flattened. That was the whole point. Months into this national nightmare, let's look at the coronavirus death statistic patterns in a number of U.S. states. Shall we? Shall we? Here's what's happened. On the 11th of April, January, February, March, April, we're talking about the number of COVID deaths per week per million population. This is CDC data. This is not townhall.com data. This is not Willie Lawson show. This is not fightbackmedia.com data. This is your blessed CDC data. Over 350 deaths per million in New York. Now, let's see. Let's take Florida, for instance. Florida peaked a lot later, like a month later. Like January, February, March, April, May 2nd peaked a lot later. But with a little over 150 deaths per million. And then it fell off pretty quickly. Now, I'm gonna try to be as fair as we can. Part of that was luck and timing. Things happened bad in New York before we knew a lot about COVID. No one really knew what they were doing. And a lot of Florida and other places got to learn a bunch about what not to do from what Andrew Cuomo did in New York. We learned a lot of good lessons, what not to do. One of the best things that Ron DeSantis of Florida did was not to send sick people or people who had been diagnosed with COVID back to nursing homes. If indeed we learned that the elderly was a vulnerable population, and the physical plant in most nursing homes is communal, and it is difficult and not really healthy to create an environment in a nursing home where people are cordoned off. So with all that being true, Governor DeSantis decided that you weren't going back to the nursing home that you came from to possibly infect other old people and kill them off. Because what we learned is that the most dangerous underlying position or condition is age. That's what we learned. We learned that the most dangerous underlying condition is not high blood pressure. It's not lung disease. It's not COPD. It's age. It's age. When we talk about between February 1st and June 17th, the CDC says that 33.32% of COVID deaths were people who were 85 years or older. The next group was the very next age group. 75 to 84 years old, over 22% of deaths. So more than half of the COVID deaths in America, well over half, were people who were 75 years or older. Seems like the most dangerous underlying condition was age. You know, it's amazing that Cuomo gets up at the DNC and breaks his arms, patting himself on the back, and basically giving Donald Trump the finger and the rest of the country a finger about their response. So, the author writes this: to this day, he cannot demonstrate one of the most basic functions of good leadership, which is accountability. Ask him about his lethal deficiencies in moving too slowly early on to shut down the state, or his infamous policy of sending infected residents back into nursing homes, and he'll put up smoke screens endlessly. Old people are going to die no matter what, you know. It's really the Fed's fault for not telling Cuomo that the virus was coming in from Europe. And that's really Trump's fault for not managing the national response better. Yeah. Even after the European ban, New York was still popping. The state was still popping. The city was still popping. But the feds couldn't have stopped him from ordering, couldn't have stopped from ordering a precautionary quarantine of European visitors to New York early on, before Trump banned travel from Europe. And the Fed sure as hell didn't force his nursing home policy on him or demand that he twiddle his thumbs for weeks in March as the virus spread throughout New York City. In many ways, COVID is just a metaphor, he says, adding that our way worked and it was beautiful. His way was to allow unchecked exponential growth of the virus across the country's biggest city, collect all the bodies, then declare victory once the spread burned itself out via herd immunity. See? And now, the way they did it worked. Folks, this is some Dr. Mengele stuff here, isn't it? This is some freaking Dr. Mengele stuff. All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back with the Lori Lightfoot story, because you got to hear that, because this is it's the hypocrisy that makes you the most crazy. Well, put on your crazy hat, because you're going to hear some right now. All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back right after these messages.
If you are a true blue conservative, small businesses are near and dear to your heart. They are the lifeblood of our life and economy. I believe this, and that's why my florist is not a website or phone number. My florist is Bloomingdale's Flower Shop, Tampa's premier flower shop. At 11618 North Florida Avenue here in Tampa, Florida, and at 6835 State Road 54 in Newport Richey. Call Christine at 813-933-1942 and at 727-232-6900. She can also be reached on the web at www.bloomingdays.com. One of the things that I get asked most is, where can I get information that it's not tainted with liberal bias, especially here in the Tampa Bay area? Well, now I have the answer. dbctampa.com, a website by and for Tampa area conservatives. Tampa's leading conservative voices speak freely at tbctampa.com. And you can too. So join the fun and enjoy the freedom at tbctampa.com.
All right. We appreciate everything you've done. I appreciate you going to the website, www.fightbackmedia.com, fightbackmedia.com, fightbackmedia.com. Right now, on the website, on the very front page, there's a video from our friend Chris Ann Hall, concerning what will happen if, for some reason, and this has been going around the past few days, if the votes, the votes, popular votes, cannot be counted by January 20th, 2021. And again, there's a huge amount of misinformation going on as usual. And we want to make sure that you get the right information. I'm not even going to repeat what the misinformation is. I'm not going to repeat what that is. Because I don't want you to take something out of context and screw it up. So I'm going to suggest that you go to fightbackmedia.com and check out the video on the front page. It's right under the heading, "You Can't Miss It." What happens if the votes can't or won't be counted on or before January 21st, 2021. The video is about 40 minutes or so, and get a pencil and a notepad, because there's a lot of information that you will want to write down, because there's a lot of information that you will need to re-disseminate to a lot of your friends who are getting bad intel, folks. They're getting they're getting incorrect information. And know this, and I say this all the time, know that the incorrect information that is being spouted in the media and the incorrect information that's being spouted by politicians, especially in the House and the Senate, they all have the correct information. They're just lying. Wow, that's hard to really, you know, wrap your head around. They have the right information. They know what the deal is. They're just lying. They know what January 6th is all about. But they're lying anyway. All right, one more story, and I'll let you go. This is madness, but everything is madness now. This is a story for the Chicago Tribune that I got via hat tip to the folks at Red River TV and Red River Chronicle, Kevin and Janelle Batts. Citing threats, Mayor Lori Lightfoot defends her ban on protesters on her block. Lori Lightfoot has a ban on people protesting where she lives. And she says this: "I have a right to make sure that my house is secure." Mayor Lori Lightfoot defended Chicago Police Department's ban on protesters being able to demonstrate on the block where she lives, telling reporters Thursday that she and her family at times require heightened security because of threats she receives daily. Lightfoot refused to elaborate on the specific threats, but said that she receives them daily against herself, her wife, and her home. Comparisons to how the police department has protected previous mayor's homes, such as Rahm Emanuel's Ravenwood residence, are unfair because this is a different time, like no other, Lightfoot told reporters. Yeah. "I think residents of the cities understand the nature of the threats that we are receiving on a daily basis. On a daily basis, I understand I have the right to make sure that my home is secure," Lightfoot said. Lightfoot and Chicago Police Superintendent David Brown were asked at an unrelated news conference about a Chicago Tribune report noting police have banned protesters from demonstrating on her block in the Logan Square neighborhood, ordering officers to arrest anyone who refuses to leave. The directive surfaced in a July email from then Shakespeare District Commander Melvin Roman to officers in his command. It did not distinguish between peaceful protesters. Lightfoot regularly says he supports and those who might intend to be destructive, but ordered that after a warning is given to demonstrators, it should be locked down. Activists and police sources could not cite instances where the city repeatedly locked down her predecessor Emanuel's block against protesters. The Kenwood block, where former President Barack Obama lived with his family when his primary residence was in Chicago, was shut down for access only by residents after his election. But Lightfoot said such comparisons don't make sense. after Brown's referenced the ongoing coronavirus pandemic as well as the civil unrest that has flared since the George Floyd killing at the hands of Minneapolis police. I'm not going to make any excuses for the fact, given the threats I have personally received, given the threats to my home and my family, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure they're protected, Lightfoot said. I make no apologies whatsoever for that. Good for her. Not. So Lori Lightfoot is using the power of the mayor's office. She's using the police force, the CPD, as her own personal security force for her block, saying that she's protecting her family, her wife, and her home. The rest of Chicago, fuck y'all. That's what she's saying. Gotta love that, don't you? Gotta love that. Listen, if you're in Chicago, you stay there. Don't come down here with that mess. We got too many people from up north and out west coming here. Because we are we're a state that believes in freedom and liberty, and we're too busy trying to fight y'all's madness off. Y'all, I mean, if you come here, leave that madness right where it is now. Don't bring that madness here. All right, we got to get out of here, make room for somebody else. Until we see you again, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, y'all take care of yourself. We will see you when we see you. Bye-bye now.
After my heart attack, cash from Active Care meant I had choices.
When I had cancer, cash from Active Care meant I didn't need to stress so much about money.
What is Active Care? Active Care is a supplemental health insurance policy that offers protection for covered cancer, heart attack, or stroke, and a choice of cash benefit options from $10,000 to $60,000. If you're diagnosed with cancer, a heart attack, or stroke, you could end up paying thousands of dollars or more in out-of-pocket medical bills. Active Care gives you protection at an affordable price. So, get Active Care for cash, choice, and control. Active Care is brought to you by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and is underwritten by Washington National Insurance Company. Visit ColonialPenn.com for more information. This is a limited benefit policy. This policy has limitations and exclusions. For costs and complete details of coverage, visit ColonialPenn.com. Someone you know has probably experienced cancer, a heart attack, or stroke. The odds of experiencing one of these are high, which could result in bills for thousands of dollars in out-of-pocket expenses. How would you pay for it? With your savings? There is another option. It's called Active Care. Active Care is a supplemental health insurance policy that offers protection for covered cancer, heart attack, or stroke, and a choice of cash benefit options from $10,000 to $60,000. And with Active Care, the cash is yours to use as you see fit. Active Care is brought to you by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and is underwritten by Washington National Insurance Company. Get Active Care for cash, choice, and control. Visit ColonialPenn.com for more information. This is a limited benefit policy. This policy has limitations and exclusions. For costs and complete details of coverage, visit ColonialPenn.com.